There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 75 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. The concept of authenticity continues this week, and we're going to dive into it again with a question from Allison, who asked how to become more authentic herself. How do you know if you're being authentic or not? Well, it really comes down to a question of motivation or inspiration. Are you motivated to take some action because you think it will result in something you want, or are you inspired to take the action because the action itself feels good? That's the big distinction here. It's a pretty big concept, so we're going to try and break it down a little. We're also going to talk about the Joshua Land Cruise at Club Med coming up at the end of September. That's going to be a lot of fun, and Deborah Jo is here to talk all about it.
Woo!
So on the roundtable today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hey.
And Deborah Jo Bright, the famous Deborah Jo Bright.
Hello, Gary, and all of you Joshua lovers out there.
So this theme of authenticity had never really popped up before. And I think it started, did it start during the cruise or like right after the cruise? I think it may have started like right after the cruise.
Maybe during Kyla's breakthrough.
Yeah, I think it came a lot during Kyla's breakthrough or her download. Or whatever that was. And the cool thing about that is when we got back from the cruise, Kyla was staying here with Lily and I, and flight was delayed. So she actually stayed an extra 2 days. And on the first day, Lily's at work and she and I are driving around. Kyla and I are driving around and I'm showing her all the sights of West Palm Beach and Palm Beach. And we just get in this long conversation, which was really cool. And Kyla brought up this idea that in social media, people post things generally because they're looking for the response from their friends, you know? And so they make the post and then they watch what their friends say and they hope they get a good feedback. And this is this idea of doing something out of motivation. So you're doing it for the purpose of getting this positive feedback so that you can feel good from the conditions, right? And then if they don't give you positive feedback, then you get mad at them or they're mad at you or whatever it is, or you want to change their opinion of it. And so this is this whole idea of inauthenticity. You're doing it because you want a response out of somebody. You're being nice, maybe, because you want other people to like you. You're being funny because you want other people to like you. You're not really just acting on inspiration. Kyla said that you should just be able to, or not should be, but isn't it more authentic to post whatever you're going to post and then not worry about what anyone else thinks. Don't even care about it. You feel this inspiration to post something, so you post it and let the chips fall where they may. And that turns out to be what authenticity is all about, is moving with this inspiration that you receive because you want to do something because it's fun and exciting and interesting. Wendy, what do you think about that?
Well, I was just thinking that on our Friends of Joshua page, I never hesitate to post my authentic self, my authentic thought. On my personal page, I filter everything and think about, oh, what are people going to think about this? Do I want them to know that about me? And right. I hesitate. I think that through. Where on the Friends of Joshua, I just post whatever I'm inspired to post because I feel safe.
So that brings up this idea that you can be more authentic around certain people because you have more confidence that they're going to appreciate you and love you for who you are. And it doesn't really matter what you do. And then around those people too, you feel less judgmental of them. True. And maybe because you feel less judgmental of them, you perceive that they are judging you less too. because you really don't know what's going on.
No.
You just have this idea that this is such a, by the way, anyone who's listening to this who wants to be on the Friends of Joshua private Facebook page, just send a email to the website, just contact us, and then I'll send you a personal invitation to it, or Kyla will, or whoever sees it. And that is a place that's really awesome because we all get to just interact with each other, knowing that we're like-minded. And when you feel that inspiration, I don't really post anything on my private page. I don't even post anything on the Joshua page.
Yeah.
But I totally interact with this page because I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm making it all up, right? I'm making it all up, the fact that people like me. Kyla, you're next.
So I was just going to say the website that you would go to send that message to the request to be in the Friends of Joshua Facebook page is www.theteachingsofjoshua.com.
And there's also a little way they can, I've been answering messages on the Friends of Joshua page send people invites.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Ah, very good. Excellent. Deborah Jo, do you ever pay attention to that page?
I do. But I'm a dip in, dip out person. And I never really, like, every couple of days I'll check in, I'll say a bunch of things, but then I never check back to see what anybody says back to me.
That's
all. So whoever's talking to me on there, just call me, please. I put my phone number on there all the time.
Do you want to tell everybody your phone number, you know, on this podcast, Deborah Jo?
It's 305-849-1662. Oh, they need it anyway because of all kinds of things about the land cruise.
Okay. Also, now that you just released that number to 6 million people, they're all tweeting it.
7 million now.
Yeah, I prefer to get some phone calls.
Ice cream.
She's not worried.
I love that. All right. So let's dive into this. First, let's go ahead and do the quote of the week. Mark, do you have that?
Yeah. There is a flow to life, and when you relinquish your control, magical things will start happening for you.
So this idea of control is totally tied into authenticity. And, you know, this is all being fleshed out right now. So I don't know how authenticity really works. And we're on page 9 of the book. It just started 2 days ago.
It's exciting.
Yeah. What is it? The 22nd. So it started on the 20th, May 20th. Oh, it started on Pot Day.
April 20th. Yeah. Smoky Toki Day.
Smoky Toki Day.
But it seems like releasing control is the process to become authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And maintaining the control is simply maintaining a level of authenticity. Because when you're authentic, you sort of, I think, we're going to figure this out, release that control. Anyway, so I thought that, one, this is a beautiful new quote that Deborah Jo made. Thank you, Deborah Jo. And two, seems to go in with what we're talking about now. Deborah Jo, while we have you here, let's talk about the Joshua Land Cruise.
Okay, let's do. It is so exciting. Mm. All of us that were on the original inaugural cruise know how powerful and life-changing the experience can be. So if any of you want to just give us a little short synopsis of how your life has changed since the cruise, I'd love to hear it. Just real short.
Oh, man.
There's no way. No way I can put that into a short synopsis.
Yeah.
I can just tell you guys it was life-changing. And I don't use that word lightly. Life-changing.
I agree. Yeah. And I've been to a lot of Abraham events, and I always felt good after I got home, but then the feeling subsided and I kind of went back to my original ways. I can say this inaugural cruise absolutely was life-changing in a long-term way. And the perspective was changed in a moment when we were in the sessions with Joshua Live. And then it's sustained for me. So that was so exciting. So let's talk about the Club Med cruise. Club Med is an all-inclusive resort in Sandpiper, Florida. It is near 3 airports. It's near Orlando Airport, West Palm Beach Airport, and Fort Lauderdale Airports. So when you're checking on your prices for flights, those are the 3 airports that you would want to check.
West Palm Beach is
the closest, and then Fort Lauderdale. But depending on pricing, you know, it might just behoove you to check and see. A lot of people are flying in. So if we have enough people flying into a certain airport, we can have transport for a minimal amount of money. So the dates are September 28th to October 1st, 2017. The time frame is 4 days and three nights. When I say 4 days, it's four full days, 10:30 Thursday morning to 5:30 p.m. Sunday afternoon. We will have 4 days of Joshua Live, and you will be able to ask Joshua questions during that time, and each person will be guaranteed a question in the hot seat.
If they want.
Especially the new people, if they want. The accommodations are all included. Three meals a day, plus unlimited snacks, unlimited alcohol, unlimited drinks, unlimited non-alcoholic drinks if you drink alcohol. They have an orange machine that squeezes fresh orange juice at all times. The Joshua Live event are going to be 2 hours long, and those happen every day. We will have meditations once a day, and they will include the new meditations that Kyla is recording now. So we will have new meditations that we'll be doing every morning at 10:30. In addition to all of those things, there is golf, unlimited tennis, unlimited kayaking, unlimited paddleboard, unlimited sailing, unlimited yoga, unlimited gym time, unlimited beach time. So there's a lot of things that are included. Also included, all gratuities and taxes and fees. Wow. So it's $599 per person if you are two to a room. I have several people who are asking for roommates, and I'm going to match people up by their likes. So I want to know if you're messy or not messy, if you're quiet or if you're loud, if you're early to bed or late to bed. So I'm trying to put people together who have similar interests. Not that it's a bad thing to have opposites. They sometimes attract
Kyla
and Wendy.
Yeah.
People do want to have a person who is similar to them in interest if they have not met before. Kyla and Wendy met many times, just not physically,
right?
By doing phone calls. Doing my best to match people.
You could just like put it in a random matcher, like on the computer, you know, and then let the law of attraction do its work. Whoever their roommate is who they're supposed to be with.
I'm making sure that they're smokers or non-smokers, because that seems to be the thing that people are most intense about. So
Don't worry, guys, I'm taken.
I'm working that out among the group. So if you need a roommate, let me know. If you decide you do not want a roommate, that is also fine. And single occupancy is $739 for the 4 days, three nights, and you get your private room. All of the one-on-one students, whether you're coming single occupancy or based on double occupancy, will receive a $100 credit. So that is per person, per one-on-one student. Now, if you cannot afford the full $599 per person, we have worked it out so that you can do three payments. And I think this is helpful for people who might have a little resistance about money. So three payments would be from now until May 15th, $200, $200 by June 15th, and $199 by July 15th. So it would be in three separate payments, and that would be exactly the same amount. We're not charging any fees if you split it up in three payments. So it's going to be a wonderful event. It's going to be 4 days of complete non-judgment and encompassed with people that love you. It's going to be a time when you can be your authentic self or work on finding your authentic self and enjoy this life-changing experience that has happened to us that did the first inaugural cruise.
And be there
If you have any questions, you can call me, and I'll give the telephone number one more time, 305-849-1662. That's 305-849-1662. I'm in Florida, Eastern Standard Time, and I'll be happy to take your questions and your credit card numbers over the phone anytime.
Nice.
So I was just going to say, that was one of the things that I loved so much about the first cruise was I've been practicing authenticity and being unapologetically me. And that was like being around other people who were so practicing Joshua's principles of just this unconditional love and acceptance, even when fear did come up and everybody else was, you know, becoming their authentic selves too. It's the place to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. I noticed when I got back, I was able to do three or four questions a day. And I would have to take a break between each one. And now I come back and I just roll. And, you know, before it was like each one took an hour or so to do from the time I got it off the website and put it in the proper format on my word processor and then send it back to the person. And now it's like I did seven yesterday between seven in the morning. And 11. Yeah. Wow. And it was like I had so much energy and so much go. It's really something's changed. And even Mimi had mentioned to you, Deborah Jo, the energy worker who was on the cruise with us, that I've gotten more energy.
Yeah.
And it's so true. And my focus has been so much more sharper on channeling and Joshua and this message and communicating with people. It's really incredible. I feel this huge boost.
I agree. The level of energy that I have is twice what I had before. And my focus, even though Joshua told me I didn't have to focus, now I find that my inspiration is so strong that there's no denying it. It's not a wonder for me. I wonder if that's my inspiration. I know that's my inspiration. Mm-hmm. Plus, I, as far as abundance is concerned, my abundance level has gone through the roof.
Mine
since
too.
I got back. Yeah. It's unbelievable, the money rolling in. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
Money, love, and happiness, joy, everything. It's just like everything's a little higher.
Yeah, and fun.
Yeah.
I feel a shift in the air. I think things are changing big time. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get on to this idea of authenticity. And had you asked me what authenticity was before, it was like being honest and truthful, not just to who you are, but sort of like this thing where you say what you mean and not what you are trying to say just so that people like you. And that's part of it. But it's also another thing I think we talked about last week, where it's about allowing people to be as they are without asking them to change or judging that they're being wrong in any way. And so as I practice that more and more, this idea that when you stop judging the other people, then you stop perceiving that they're judging you. And that's why it's so easy to communicate with people on the Friends of Joshua page, as opposed to the other page, because I have this perception that I'm being judged in the open, right? But not on this one group. And it's not, it's just this perception that's coming through. So let's go ahead and get into this answer, because I think this answer really sums up. This answer, I think, sums up what the whole book is going to be about. Mm. And it's a long one, so we might as well get started.
Okay. Dear Joshua, authentic self. In my mind, this might be my inner self in physical reality, but I'm guessing that's not necessarily the case. So many pieces to questions about authentic self, and the questions change directions as I read and think about it. You've said, I can't lose when I become an authentic version of Allison. So this first question would be, how do I become an authentic version of Allison? You've used terms such as vibrational match and center of my own universe. Is this where the authentic Allison resides, or do I experience vibrational match when I become the authentic version of Allison? I sort of get that if I'm acting like someone I'm not, example, faking my personality that's being authentic, if I'm nice or on time or polite, these are important beliefs, then I'm more authentic, but somehow that doesn't feel like the answer to authentic Allison. I trust I have not confused you, but I am confused. When I become my authentic self, does that mean I have a higher perspective on all things? Am I then a fully expanded being when I'm my authentic self? Whatever that means, I'm not sure. Thank you, your friend, authentically confused, Allison.
I love that signature.
Yeah, me too.
Allison just started the one-on-one, and I think she's on question 9 or so, and she just asked these rapid-fire questions. So I have a bunch of questions that I can pick out because there's like sometimes 2 or 3 a day. It's really cool. But this is like coming in on this perfect timing of asking about authenticity.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Imagine how that works.
All right. Dear Allison, by the broadest definition, the authentic self is the physical representation of your true self. It is you without fear. It is you in pure love and acceptance. You are not being any different than who you really are, a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. As you apply fear, you move away from who you really are. As you remove fear, you come closer to the authentic representation of who you really are.
Okay, so that paragraph is perfect right there. It's really showing you that inauthenticity is caused by fear. So you try and be different than you are because you have this fear that others won't like you for who you are or whatever that is, right? And then authenticity is the true authenticity, is the true lack of fear. So you would do what you're inspired to do without the fear of any negative ramifications. And I see myself really my whole life as, and even this week, people ask me about book sales, and I always tend to overestimate what those sales are. Mm. You know, why do I do that? Because I want them to think that I'm more successful than I am, you know, but really it has nothing to do with me. It's, you know, it's whatever people are attracted to. If they find Joshua's books, they find Joshua's books, right? It's not even my writing. It's Joshua's writing. Why am I saying these things just so people will think I'm more successful? And why do I care if they think I'm more successful? So this is, you know, this fear that I'm not being as successful as I could be, or things aren't going as well as they should be. And I used to say, well, what I'm doing is I'm projecting the reality that I want by saying things like that. But that's just a bunch of bullshit. That was.
I think that's a good example of what you were talking about earlier, though, where there's, you know, it comes down to the motivation, because you could do that from a different place where it's like, you know, putting out like the six million, just putting out like what you want. Right. So there is. But yeah, because it is motivated from a place of like wanting their love.
That is an exactly perfect example there. Because when I say we have 6 million listeners, that is my intention for there to be 6 million listeners one day. And nobody believes that we really have 6 million listeners. Although we may. I'm not saying we don't.
Definitely non-physical.
But I'm certainly not saying it to try and, you know, boost the popularity or the impression that we're more successful than we are in that case. But in the case about the books, that is my motivation, is trying to make people think I'm more successful. So that's all based on fear. So if I can give up that, realize how irrational that is, nobody cares.
I feel like awareness is half the battle. Like once you realize you're doing
that. Awareness is half the battle.
Yeah.
Perspective change. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Good point.
All right.
When you return to non-physical, you will step into your authenticity and be who you really are, because in the non-physical realm, fear does not exist. In the physical, there is fear, yet most of it is irrational. Live a life without conforming to the influence of fear, and you live an authentic life. Practice removing the limiting effects of fear, and you are essentially practicing living an authentic life. That's all it is.
There we go.
Fear causes you to be different than you really are. It causes you to modify yourself in order to exist within the narrow confines of fear. This is evidenced by the adoption of certain personality traits in order to manage a life consumed by fears of all sorts. You try to be someone who will be liked, who is seen as good, responsible, patriotic, reliable, interesting, loving, etc. Certainly, these are all good traits, for there is no wrong. Yet these traits are not authentic because they are forms of identity compiled for the sole purpose of coercing others into liking you or loving you. When the act breaks down and falls apart, the false sense of love you believed you were receiving goes away.
So imagine that. Imagine being someone who's different than you really are, living in an inauthentic life and receiving love. And then when that breaks down because you're not maintaining this act, then the love falls apart. And then you're like, what was I doing this for in the first place? You know?
Yeah.
So imagine trying to be successful, providing money for the family, doing all this stuff, and then you get fired. And now everyone's like, okay, we don't love you anymore. Right. So it was all based on this, how much money you have, what your status, you know, how popular you are perceived to be,
what kind of car you drive.
Yep, yeah. All that stuff.
Which boils down to how much security can you provide?
Well, it boils down to the person you're attracting who's attracted to the security and not to you.
Right.
And, and so they never were loving you. They were loving the security or the lifestyle or whatever it was. And once that goes away, then, you know, then you find out what is true.
Right.
Yep. So if you can be who you are and then attract from that point of view, then theoretically in this universe, you will attract those who are a match to who you authentically are. And then since you can't be different than you authentically are because you're not faking it, then there's no way that you can do anything theoretically to cause them not to love you. Theoretically.
Or you don't care. Yeah. Whether or not. They
Or you don't care.
You're just there to give love. That's all it is.
It's so much easier.
Well, you accept them and they're not loving you. You accept them.
You accept them even in they're not loving you.
Yeah.
You guys are brilliant. All right.
The next one. We all are. It's the combination. Yeah. Okay. This was all taught to you during childhood. It was taught to your parents and their parents. You were all taught to conform. Your schools created an atmosphere of conformity. Your workplaces often create environments of conformity. You believe that in order to be loved, you must fit in. In order to fit in, you cannot express yourself as an individual. Those who do are punished through the removal of love and the use of punishment. If you were punished as a child, you were told you were wrong. You were asked to be different than you were. You accepted this because you wanted love, and so to control the conditions, you behaved in a way that would coerce those around you to love you. You behaved, did what you were told, and played nice. All of that was an act, and it was an inauthentic version of you created out of fear of loss.
So that's a hard one to understand, that the idea of being good is inauthentic, right? And it's just, it's in this context, that the reason that you're being good is because you don't want your parents to get mad, and you don't want to be punished, and so you do things that normally you would not do just so that they would be happy with you or wouldn't get upset. And you, now we are so conditioned that the first thought that I think is, well, of course it's good to be good. You don't want to be bad. But yet, you know, I think of examples in my life when I was a tiny little kid, and we're running around and laughing and giggling and having fun and being punished for it because we were you know, authentically enjoy and having fun at the time, but it was annoying to our parents. And so they made us wrong for having fun. And I'm wondering how limiting that is in my day-to-day life now, where, you know, I want to have fun. I want to have a good time. And then on the backside, well, you shouldn't have fun, you know, and at this age, I'm 54. So I have to really focus on having fun to have fun, because life can be serious at this age. And, you know, but even if you're 54 and you're acting silly, you're going to get some looks from your wife. That's for sure.
Your wife.
Everyone's wife. Yeah. And then other people say, oh, he's so fun loving. And then Lily will roll her eyes. If you only knew. All right. Next one there.
The authentic version of you does not need to be loved. It needs to love unconditionally. You truly desire to accept the conditions, including your perception of yourself and everyone else, unconditionally. That means you love yourself despite any aspect of you that does not conform. You accept yourself as perfect as you are, and you love yourself unconditionally. If you see yourself making what others might perceive as a mistake or transgression, you accept that act as perfect because it fits perfectly into the condition that presented itself at the time. If you say something that might be considered by others to be inappropriate, well, that is their judgment, and it is based in fear. You can accept that the comment was perfect because it was meant to be heard by those who heard it, and how they felt as a result is their own manifestation event. It was the perfect thing to say at the perfect time, and you were inspired to say it, so you said it. You accept that the statement was perfect, that your feelings about it were perfect, even if you feel bad about it, that everyone else had the perfect response to it, and that no wrong occurred in the saying of it. It was all perfect. That's the unconditional acceptance of the conditions, yourself, and everyone else. That is authenticity.
All right. So there's a mind-blowing paragraph there, which
is a tough one.
Includes a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So not only to be authentic, you accept everyone as they are. You also accept you as you are, even if you judge what you've done as wrong. And you realize that it's not wrong. If it was inspired from whatever you were feeling, it came out right. And we've had this conversation with Astrid many times. Astrid beats herself up when she says something that she thinks back later was wrong and thinks that other people were thinking, you know, that it was inappropriate or whatever. But Joshua has always said that if you say it, you were inspired to say it, that's authentic. And even if you think it's wrong and other people think it's wrong, it was never wrong. It was perfect because everyone needed to have that manifestation event, and how they perceived it was for them. It gave them the chance to realize a limiting belief based in some irrational fear.
I have a question and thought about that. So when you say something like that, how do you, I mean, you can check your feelings, and if you're feeling good and you know, then you know it's inspiration. But say, for instance, you're having a conversation with somebody and the thought pops into your mind, oh, this guy's a weirdo. You don't just say,
but if
weirdo.
You do, if you happen
but
to, it's perfect.
It popped in your mind. Yeah. So where does that line go?
Yeah. So, okay. So if you don't say it, that's fine. Congratulate yourself for holding back and not saying something that might be perceived as inappropriate. But if it comes up, if it comes out, then that's perfect too. So you can't get it wrong, as Abraham would say.
Okay. There,
right? Okay. You can never get it wrong. You never get it done. You can't be wrong. You can't do anything wrong. It's always for a purpose. If you're inspired to say it and it comes out, then there was nothing you could do to control it anyway because it was such an inspiration. If you were inspired to say it and you hold yourself back from saying it through fear, then you can say things like, yeah, I held that back because I was worried about how they'd react, and that's perfectly appropriate, right? And that'd be appropriate too.
Well, and you have to accept them, right? You got to accept them for who they are.
And yourself for who you are.
Yeah.
Even if you can't accept them, you accept yourself for not accepting them.
Yeah. But but then there's this thing about, you know, are you saying it from your connection with your inner self, from feeling good, or are you saying it from judgment?
Right.
And then what I guess, if you're saying it from judgment, so if you say it from judgment and it just comes out, then yeah, you got to be gentle with yourself and say, well, that's okay, I said it, and not mm-hmm. judge yourself for mm-hmm. saying it. But I guess if you're not inspired, if it's coming from a place of disconnection or judgment, maybe try not to say it, I guess, is what I would.
Yeah.
Is what I would try to do, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so if you're now, imagine that someone is annoying to you. There was a guy last night playing poker, and the table that we had, the poker tournament they have last night, there's a lot of, it's Friday night, people just coming to have a good time. It's a lot of, you know, just people having fun, not serious poker players. The table we were on just happened to have me and Jeff and a couple serious guys, right? And so when I sit down, people go, oh, you know, it's a big, you know, fear that comes up over them. And we joke about it and play about it. And it's like no big deal. It's, you know, it's still a game. There's a lot of luck involved, and anyone can do well, and people do well all the time. But there's one younger guy was going, I am literally the best poker player in this room. And me and Jeff is really being nice to him and supporting him. And other guys are just not saying anything. And just like, really, you think you're the best poker player in the world? And he goes, well, you might be, you know, it's, you never know what's going to happen. And it really, it's just to be the best poker player of the day. And I'm, you know, just being me and being happy and fun about it and joking around. And everyone else is like, this guy is, doesn't know what he's saying. How could he be saying stupid things like this, especially on this table, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, yeah, I've only been playing for a year and I won two tournaments. And just like, that's good. Keep it up. Because really what Jeff's doing is he wants to encourage people who can't play to play as much as possible.
You know? Perfect. That's perfect. Right? Jump on in. And
so this guy's getting so mad when he gets beaten in his hand. And it's just so funny to watch. But you can completely allow someone to be like that and not say something that would hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
And you can do that from a place of love for this person as well, you know? And so from a place of love, you know, might not say something. From a place of being annoyed, you might think of it, but then you can catch yourself and rethink your opinion of him and come from a place of love and then allow yourself to stop it. But yeah, that's a really good point, Mark, because the times when you're angry or upset or below that emotional line and you take these actions that are inspired to make you feel better are often things that don't coincide with what you truly want. But then again, they are manifestation events. They cause contrast. They birth desires. They have a lot of benefits either way.
Yeah. Don't you think that comes in a big part from being high flying and having fun and already being at a high vibration, or being annoyed, being mad, being frustrated, which is a low flying vibration. If you just stop that low flying vibration, figure out how to get yourself a little higher, they become less annoying.
Sure. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, much less annoying. And you do that by setting your intentions before you go in and pre-paving what you want to experience, how you want to be.
And for me, what I practice is hard. Yeah, but I practice just like removing or paying attention and trying to remove my ego from situations, so detaching from it. So when somebody that other people are perceiving as annoying, I can look at them and think, oh, that's so silly. You know, like how cute. Just because I see that they're acting from a place of fear or whatever is going on. And even the other people who are judging them as annoying, sometimes I tend to judge those people more than I judge the annoying person. But I can know where they're coming from too. And oh, that's so silly too. And just observe it all. And see what it brings up in me.
Isn't it fun to watch people now going through manifestation events? You can sort of see what's happening.
Yeah.
And sort of you know, becoming aware of it, like Mark said, is, or like whoever said, 99% of the battle there, becoming aware just gives you this insight that you can see really what's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said this before, but in poker, when someone loses a big hand and they have to count out the chips that they've lost, for some reason, during those times of the stress, they can't count.
Oh. Yeah.
Because completely, yeah. These guys are really good at math and they lose a simple ability to add or to count or to put chips in a pile. And so the yeah. dealer has to do it for them. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that under stress, people lose this connection mm. with this intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Big paragraph there. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah. All right. The authentic version of you does not need to be loved. It needs to love unconditionally. You truly desire to accept the conditions, including your perception of yourself and everyone else, unconditionally. That means you love yourself despite any aspect of you that does not conform. You accept yourself as perfect as you are, and you love yourself unconditionally. If you see yourself making what others might perceive as a mistake or transgression, you accept that act as perfect because it fits perfectly into the condition that presented itself at the time. If you say something that might be considered by others to be inappropriate, well, that is their judgment and it is based in fear. You can accept that the comment was perfect because it was meant to be heard by those who heard it, and how they felt as a result is their own manifestation event. It was the perfect thing to say at the perfect time, and you were inspired to say it, and so you said it. You accept that the statement was perfect, that your feelings about it were perfect, even if you feel bad about it, that everyone else had the perfect response to it, and that no wrong occurred in the saying of it. It was all perfect. That's the unconditional acceptance of the conditions, yourself, and everyone else. That is authenticity. Inauthenticity is the opposite of...
Hold on. Let's talk about this last paragraph again.
Again.
And what just happened there. Okay, so here we are going through this. We're all reading this letter. It's in our minds. I'm thinking, didn't we say this already? And then I'm thinking, well, no, you know, no one else is saying anything. So we must.
I was thinking the same thing. I had never heard it before.
I know. It was all new to me. I was getting the shit out of it. After that talk that we just had about it, I was like, oh okay.
Yeah. And then instead of skipping it, we go, hey, it must have been said again for a reason because people need
exactly.
It. Oh, it was perfect. And then we could have just allowed it to be. Allow the fact that we all made a mistake, but it wasn't any mistake after all, that it was perfect. And here we are proving what this paragraph says right there.
Yeah.
What are the odds? All right.
100%.
Let's get t-shirts made that say, what are the odds? 100%.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, what are the odds in front, 100% in the back, or something like that?
We have all kinds of t-shirts.
Yeah.
Remember all the t-shirt ideas on the Joshua Cruise?
Yeah.
So yeah. Are we writing any of these down?
That's, dude, I'm on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Post that to Facebook.
All right. Inauthenticity is the opposite of who you really are. Who you are is not a limited being of conditional love and conditional acceptance. The inauthentic version of you loves and accepts others as long as the conditions are right. This is the old approach to life, and it forces you to attempt to control the conditions by being different than you are so that others like you. You also ask others to be different than they are so that you can feel good. But worst of all, you ask yourself to be different than you are by adopting traits that you believe will make you a good person for the sole purpose of creating this persona that others will be able to love. The more lovable you become, the more inauthentic you become, because it is just an act to get attention and love from other people.
Allison,
this is hard for me too. This is hard for me to accept.
I was just thinking how timely all these questions are. I needed to hear this. This is exactly the manifestation events I'm going through right now are all wrapped into this question.
Mm-hmm.
That blows my little mind.
Oh, wow. It's
amazing because when you try to be lovable, you're just trying to create a condition where people can love you. If you just are lovable, because that's who you are, right?
Yeah.
That's then people can love you or not, whatever.
You get so much love, you don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So the more lovable you become doesn't mean that the more lovable that you are is a bad thing.
Right.
Because when I read this, I thought, gosh, that's so odd because I think I want to be more loving and lovable and all of that.
You want to be more loving.
Loving.
And by being more loving, you become more lovable. Mm-hmm. You do not want to become lovable. Becoming lovable is completely inauthentic because you do not need to be loved. You need to love. And once you love, then you will be loved. Maybe, maybe not. But the thing is, you're not here to be loved. You're here to love. Being loved is a sign of feeling unworthy. So you want this love to prove that you're worthy.
Oh, I see. From a needy perspective. I get what you're saying. Okay, that really clarifies it for me.
Because it's like law of attraction at its finest. I mean, when you become love, you can only attract love. And you may attract some fear, but it just doesn't even matter because all you care about is giving love, especially to the people that are in fear.
And the more you practice giving love to people who are in fear, I mean, they may be uncomfortable with it, but the more comfortable you can be with it, I mean, who wouldn't want to be around? I mean, the proof of the Friends of Joshua page is there right there, is when you feel like that you can love other people, regardless of how they're being, then you just feel this love coming back to you.
Right. Love without judgment.
And who doesn't want to be around people who love you unconditionally? Everyone wants that.
Which, like Joshua said, is like acceptance. That's what love is. It's just acceptance.
Yeah.
Unconditional acceptance.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I have no idea where we are now.
I do, I think. We'll see. Who you really are asks nothing of others or of yourself. In fact, who you really are can only love and accept others as well as yourself. You don't need them to be different than they are for you to feel good. You feel good no matter how they are being because they cannot create in your reality. And thus, you don't invite fear. You maintain your good feelings regardless of the conditions, knowing that in an attractive universe, everything you want unfolds from this state of allowing. You allow yourself to be whoever you want to be, while having no fear that you are being wrong. Without that fear, or the perception of wrong, you can perceive other people's opinions of you in a way that is authentic, and this allows you to feel good.
Right. So it's all about feeling good, and this is being authentic, is the approach that allows you to feel good, because there's so much less fear around it. If you're being inauthentic, I guess, you're always afraid that other people are going to figure you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That fear is always lingering there. Okay.
The authentic and empowering way to perceive how others see you might sound something like, I am a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. I do not need others to like me or love me. All I choose to do is love and accept others for who they truly are, even if they are feeling fear. How they perceive me is irrelevant because it is perceived through the lens of their fears, and I have no control over that. If they like me, it is because I present no fear in this moment. If they don't like me, it has to do with how they perceive fear as it relates to their interaction with their own unique perception of who they think I am, but it is not who I really am that they see.
So this is really interesting because the only reason people like you is because you present no fear to them. The only reason they don't like you is because you present fear, right?
Right.
If there was no fear, they would just normally love you. If there is fear, then that's their issue that they have to resolve, and it causes them to break apart this, you know, this thing called like. So you can be one who goes around loving other people and then allow them to feel fear or not, right? And some people will. And a really good example of this was when, I think it was the third Joshua Live, Kyla left the room. She had her own thing going on. She had asked her question and she was done with us. And so from me as Joshua, right, there was zero emotion there. There was no fear at all. And I think about this all the time. As me as Gary, there was no fear there either. But there was fear for, to a certain extent, for everyone else who was watching it. Some a little bit of fear and some a lot of fear. Astrid had an issue with it, right? So for her, Kyla's authentic behavior of being done with what we were doing and leaving to go and be elsewhere brought up some fear. If it was me 5 years ago, I would have had fear. I would have been angry with it, right? But because I've come to this place of acceptance, especially of Kyla and everyone else who was there, there was no fear at all. So I couldn't get upset with any action that she did at all. It wasn't possible. And that allowed me to feel good. What were you guys thinking when Kyla left the room that day?
I don't think I had fear. I felt more like, almost like looking at an animal. No, I'm not calling an animal anyway, shape or form, Kyla. But you know how when you see like an animal that's caged and you just feel for them that they need to get out? That's how I felt. Like, she just needs to get out of here. She needs to go.
Right.
And not from a bad way, from a very supportive, I love you, go kind of way.
Yeah.
I felt exactly the same way. You were taking a little nap in the chair, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so good. She's so sleep deprived. At least she's getting a little cat nap. And so you had you were sleeping, and then you said, okay, I really just want to go play. And I thought, good for her. Good for her saying that. Now who's going to do her job? That was my only thing. And Mark stepped in, and it all worked out great.
Yeah.
You know, I see it, Kyla, as you're practicing the teaching. You're practicing what we're being taught to do. You're courageously practicing it. So, you know, when you do karaoke, or, you know, I think the whole time on the cruise, you're like, well, you know, it's what Joshua is telling us, you know, to just be ourselves, be authentic. And if we're not feeling something, don't do it out of obligation. And so I see it, and then I take from it, wow, I mean, it's a little bit like, oh, the, you know, there's fear comes up for me, like, would I do something like that? But then it's, for me, it's inspiration. Like, oh, man, it's cool to watch Kyla doing it.
Kyla, how did you feel? Yeah. What was your response to that? Did you feel bad about leaving?
No. I don't know. I mean, I feel a little bit of fear, like, sitting here listening to, like, everybody else's opinion on it. Just because I don't know. But no, in that moment, it felt like my only choice. Like, I couldn't ignore it. I could have ignored it, but then I would have been back where I was, where I was just not being me, and it hurt my entire body so bad for years. Just like, and so I do my personas, like, but I wasn't sleeping. I know that I hadn't gotten a lot of sleep, but that was the thing. I was so in bliss that time ceased to exist. I managed, food showed up when I was hungry and needed to eat, but I didn't feel like I needed sleep. And in that, I was so tuned in to Joshua that I was just like, I felt like merging with them in my mind. And you could say, like, from a rational place, like, oh, that's because you hadn't gotten enough sleep. And so then your brain is playing tricks on you. But like, what was happening was I was just, I don't know, I felt like merged. And then it was overwhelming.
Very comfy,
and I just
needed in the corner.
Okay. So now let's say 2 years ago, the same situation was happening with the Kyla from 2 years ago. Would you have left the room?
No, I would have stayed there, and I probably would have broken down crying, and like, I don't know, it would have been, or I would have stayed. No, what I would have done, I would have stayed there, and I would have had a smile on my face, and I would have sat up straight, and I would have done my job, and it would have been perfect. And then I would have gone back to my room and cried when I was by myself. That's what I would have done.
You would have been good, in quotes, been a good girl.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right.
All right. Let's go to the next one.
When you say something nice to someone, it can be authentic or inauthentic. It depends on your motivation. If you are saying it because you feel good and you are inspired to say it, then that is authentic. If you are saying it in the hope that they will see you as nice and like you, well, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's just not authentic. It's still nice and it might make them feel good, but it's inauthentic because it is an attempt to coerce them into liking you.
Okay, do you get that? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not authentic. Mm-hmm. So you're playing this part of someone who's saying something nice. I think we communicate as humans. There's going to be more to this, which there's this power that we each have that we present to each other, or that we take from each other, right? I was watching the Celestine Prophecies, the movie, the other day, which is the book I read before. And there's the 9 prophecies, right? And it's all about how humans are evolving to the stage where the history of humanity is one of taking another's power. And now we are moving into our own power and allowing everyone else to have their own power, and then combining that power to ramp it up. So here we're in a stage where we're bringing our power together to understand something more. It's a give and take. We're not trying to take each other's power. We're working together for this common goal of understanding this concept. And we can be authentic to each other. And then when we go to this out in public, then there's a different interaction we have with people. We want them to do something for us. We want something out of them. They want something out of us. There's this give and take of power instead of this merging of it together. And that's not fleshed out either. That's just this idea that's coming through here that will be mentioned, I'm
what
sure.
I find is the more you like step into your own power, and the more you embrace your power and allow people to try to take their power if they want to try to take it, but just like let all of that be their stuff. And I just stay in my own power, and then it feels like I'm sharing all the time.
Yeah. It's like Joshua says that you can't be taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
You can only allow the other people to influence you or give up your power.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different thing.
Even in giving up your power, they told me you still have your power because you're choosing to quote unquote, give it to them. Yeah, we've had some conversations. Yeah. They've told me a lot of stuff.
Interesting. All right, let's go to the next one.
Okay. There is nothing wrong with being inauthentic. It's certainly one very popular approach to life. It's just that it's limiting and does not work within the laws of the universe. Sometimes it's hard to see how being good is limiting, because you've been taught that it is good to be good, and of course it is. However, if you look at the motivation behind that idea, you will discover why you are being good. If the behavior is a subversive form of control, then it's limiting because it won't really be effective in the long run. If the behavior is done because it was inspired from a place of feeling good, then the behavior may be considered wrong by others, but it conforms perfectly to the laws of the universe, and as a result, it will always be for your highest good, no matter the results.
So for me, it was like playing poker. Poker is, you know, something that a lot of people think is wrong, and I'm able to not care what they think to a certain extent and do it anyway, right? But if I was really worried about what people thought, especially, but here I am, people are looking up to how I'm acting and being in my life to be playing poker and competing and to do something that really has no, you know, perceived benefit on humanity, even though it does. So you could think of that behavior as being wrong and then not do it. And a lot of people do. There's a lot of guys who play poker who do not tell anyone that they play poker. There's one guy who plays poker all the time whose wife has no idea he's playing poker. You know, no idea. So it's like that with anything. Anything could be considered good or bad. Yeah. But it's
that's kind of how I lived growing up. My dad was a Baptist minister. And so all of the things that I was preached to and told my whole life, I didn't really feel like that was me authentically. So I pretended to be that girl for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and choir practice. And then let me tell you, on Saturday, I was dancing on the bar all over town. So, you know, that was my authentic self. But I conformed in my inauthentic self until I was 18 and broke out of the chains and, you know, continually try to become more authentic all the time. But I was raised that way.
Yeah,
we all were. We all were. Yeah. And some people conform and some people rebel. And there's a reason for it, because you just can't suppress who you really are for too long. It's going to come out.
Deborah Jo, did you like that movie Footloose?
I think I wrote that movie. I lived that movie.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. I was thinking when you were saying that, like, wow, it's just like Footloose.
Yeah. Gary, if you write your book, I Am Not Your Guru, I think you should spell guru, G-O-O-R-U-U. Goo.
Or G-O-O-R-O-O.
Yeah.
Guru.
Guru.
Not your guru either. Okay. Or I am your guru.
You are my guru.
I am your guru.
He's not your guru. I'm your guru.
That would be funny.
Living an authentic life begins by understanding the motivation behind the behavior and then acknowledging those occasions when the behavior is meant to control or maneuver another person into a certain response or action. Authenticity comes from allowing the other person to be who they are and managing all behavior through the process of receiving and acting on inspiration by resolving fear, where the only motivation is self-expression and unconditional love.
Okay.
That's quite a lofty ideal, yet it can be put in practice in your daily life. Once you are aware of the basic concept of authenticity, you can become aware of the motivation behind your behavior, and you can think about what you are doing as you are doing it. The more aware you become, the more you can understand the intentionality of your actions and the actions of those around you. Are the actions based in fear or love? That's all you need to know. If the action is based in fear, it is inauthentic. It is designed to cause someone else to do something or be something that is coerced by the behavior.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that the interesting thing here is that not only can you see it in yourself, but you can see it in everyone else. Mm-hmm. And then you can sort of, you can know where they're coming from, especially if they're in an argument with you. And you can realize that this is their inauthentic self coming through, and they're trying to take your power by having you be different than you are. And you don't have to accept that. You can just say, I guess you could say, fuck you. Can you say that?
You can.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.
I'm working on that.
paragraph here.
Getting good grades in school so that your parents will be proud of you is inauthentic. It's not wrong, it's simply not authentic. Getting good grades as a result of your interest and delight in the subject is authentic because there is no ulterior motive behind it. It is just the natural result of your interest and love for the subject matter. With our absolute and unconditional love for you, we are Joshua.
Mm. Nice.
So you can see that if you read anything Joshua writes, it's pure authenticity. There is nothing inauthentic about it because it always comes from love. There is no fear, and they don't want the person to change because the basic premise is that everyone is perfect as they are right now, that they are, that everyone's evolving, that you will get to a different place of evolution in your own path of spirituality and growth, but that will be no more perfect than you are now.
Yeah.
Arnaud, I hope I pronounced that right. Arnaud has asked a couple questions. He said that he was taking a run, and where he lives, these cherry trees are in blossom, and how beautiful they are. And that, is it our job to see the potential of this blossoming tree when the tree is in middle of winter, dead basically, or no leaves on it? And Joshua says, no, it's wonderful to see the potential of the cherry blossom in full bloom. Yet that is a judgment, saying that that is better than the cherry blossom without any leaves. So you can see the cherry tree as perfect when it has no leaves, because that is part of the path to the blooming. And it's just, it's a necessary part of it. And it's as perfect as the bloom is. And from that perspective, it can be as beautiful as the bloom is.
That's a perfect metaphor for your life, too.
Yeah, I just had that conversation with my son, my oldest son, because we were talking about the leaves coming back on the trees. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm learning to appreciate the, you know, the trees with no leaves, too. It was cool. What are the odds?
You know, this question, this whole question and answer kind of triggered me a little bit, because authentic, you know, we have things that are important or part of our persona, and authenticity is a big one for me. And kind of learning, reading this and learning how inauthentic I'm being a lot of the times. It's like, oh man, you know, and then I guess being okay with, because we are all inauthentic, you know, we are all inauthentic a big part of the time.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because I think you're one of the most authentic people I've ever met in my entire life.
I agree.
I'm blown away how authentic you are. I mean, you are so real. It is amazing. And for you to say that you think that you're inauthentic is, I mean, it just shows how authentic you are.
Maybe you around us, he's more authentic.
Well, I mean, he didn't know us. He didn't know us when we first met on the cruise, right? We had never even talked before. And just how open and giving and loving and fun you are as a person, and always saying nice things, you know. Not, and I don't see it as you being wanting to be liked. It's you being who you really are.
But there is, thank you. But there is that we all want to be liked. And
well, I just said that to be liked.
Yeah. I mean, we all are being inauthentic to a degree, right? To a degree. Yes.
Right.
And it's a big one for me to try to be as authentic as I want. But this, you know, you're reading or as authentic as I can. But then you read this, you're like, oh man, I got some work to do too. You know, I got some work to do.
And there's no real work to do. It just, like realizing and then just peeling away the little layers of fear as they come up.
Yeah.
You know, and realizing when you're
becoming aware of it is half the battle.
Yeah.
You know, just raising your awareness of it.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, before we go, we are just on about an hour here. So on the Law of Attraction Radio Network, there's a great show called Ask Julie Ryan. And Julie Ryan called me and said, do you want to be on the show? So I'm going to be on her show on Tuesday. So I don't know when that's going to come out, but it might come out even before this episode comes out. This episode probably won't come out for 2 weeks, and today is May 22nd, so I'm going to be doing April 25th is when I'm going to do it. And it'll be on Law of Attraction Radio Network. Ask Julie Ryan. She's a medical intuitive. She's only done one interview before me, but she likes our show a lot. And there's a lot of things that we do on this show that encouraged her to start her own podcast. And she's really smart and interesting. We had an hour conversation the other day just talking about what we're going to talk about. And then we just talked about all kinds of other things, too. That could have been a great podcast right there. We should have recorded that. So people can call into that show, too. So there'll be people calling in and
get the number. We'll prank call.
Yeah.
I'm not letting
you call. No, ask people. Here he goes with the you people again. I'm writing it on my calendar right now. What time will that be?
That's actually, it has to be live, doesn't it?
Yeah, the people calling in.
Yeah. So you guys will, if you're hearing this podcast, it'll be too late, but you four can call in if you feel like it.
Do you remember her website?
AskJulieRyan.com.
Perfect.
Mm.
Her email's julie@AskJulieRyan.com.
That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She says we're going to work together. And she said also said that I mentioned the cruise next March in the Mediterranean, and she wants to be part of that.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, cool. So maybe she'll bring all her people. We'll bring all our people. We'll take over the ship. We should get Jeanette Ma with her people. Mm,
that'd be fun.
I bet she'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, cool. You guys have a wonderful weekend. This is the best show we've ever had by far. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Every time. Absolutely.
It was so authentic.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Deborah Jo.
Yeah. And thanks for doing all the cruise stuff. September 28th to October 1st is our land cruise at Club Med, all inclusive, all kinds of spirituality, all kind of beaching, all kind of drinking, all kinds of authenticity.
You know what my favorite?
All kinds of fun.
In the dining room, they have these huge wine fridges, and you just go to it and pick out your bottle of wine. And
it's either
opened already, or you just have someone open it there for you. Mm. It's great. Whatever you want.
And once you pay your
$5.99, it's really good wine,
all
too.
All done. There's no tipping. There's no...
Yep. You can't tip anybody.
Else. That's it. It's all
you don't
inclusive.
Don't get a room card and charge anything. There's nothing you can buy. It's all free.
And we're going to do fun extracurricular activities.
Yeah, because Frank has a big boat, so he can go on the boat. It can fit 40, 50 people, can it?
we'll tow the little boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you buy you reserve your spot by when? May 15th? What were you saying?
May 15th.
Okay. Then you get a private cruise. Get on that cruise.
There you go.
We are going to have incentives for people who pay up front instead of the three installments, just because it's much less paperwork for us and much less time involved. So we are going to have a special incentive for those of you who just call your credit card in and pay for it all at once. So when you talk to me, you'll find out all of the juicy details.
Excellent. Cool. All right, everyone, have a wonderful week, and we will see you again next time. Joshua Live is on Monday. Whoever wants to be a part of that, of you guys, give me a call. We'll set it up. And until then, just
be authentic.
Mm-hmm. Have an authentic week.
Yeah.
Have an authentic weekend.
Go back to being inauthentic on Monday.
Bye. See ya.
All
right,
bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.